The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the f*** up.
This is Believe You Me on the Gas Digital Network.
All right, welcome. Guys, Believe You Me.
Believe You Me. That was a good start. Straight off the bat, talking over one another. Reason being is I am in the very, very futuristic and beautiful Shenzhen, China. And where are you, Lewis?
I am in the very old school, stuck in the past, Hawaii. I'm in Honolulu right now.
No, I've been there. It's a beautiful place. The reason I talk about this place is because if I look out to my window here, I can just see a sea of the most amazing, beautiful, futuristic skyscrapers you've ever seen in your life. It honestly is incredible. Like, and they all dance at night, and every skyscraper is all built in unison with the other because they all have like these crazy light shows that go on till like 3 a.m. Like, but the impressive thing is, as I said, they all work together. But this is known as the Silicon Valley of China, and 30 years ago this was just a fishing village is what I'm told. But now, so all this is brand new. But honestly, I went for a walk yesterday, and it literally is like being in the future. It really is. It's absolutely insane. Not that anyone will ever have a reason to go to Shenzhen, China, but if you do get a chance, I thoroughly recommend it.
Yeah, I didn't. You just actually were in Hawaii just a few weeks ago, so we missed each other by a few weeks. It is a very unique place in the world, Mr. Bisping. It's just, if you feel the Asian influence, like the plants are very different, like the leaves, they're a different texture. There's like weird animals. The birds are different. The fish are different. It is not exactly what you expected. It feels very trippy almost. I like it, but it's definitely definitely probably the most unique place I've been to in terms of like plant life and vegetation. And you feel the Asian influence because I guess Hawaii is like right in between the US and Asia, right?
Yeah. It's probably, well, almost halfway to Japan, I think. So therefore, of course, you, even though it's technically America, you're in a different country. You're in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, so it is going to be a little different. You know what I mean? And it is. Hawaii is awesome. I love it. I absolutely love it. Honolulu's cool. The cool thing about Honolulu is that it's kind of like a built-up city, but as you're walking through it, it's tropical paradise as well. Do you know what I mean? It's weird. You got all the high-end stores with beautiful, lush greenery and birds and paradise and the ocean all day. It really is a cool place.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome, dude. I want to go to Asia, too. I've never been to Asia. I'm getting old. This is how I know I'm getting older. Because when I was younger, I just wanted to do vacations where I could easily score drugs. And now that I'm getting a little bit older, I've realized that I can bring the drugs on the airplane with me really wherever I want to go. So now I'm like, I'm opening up my horizons. I really want to go to Asia. I really want to go to Europe. I've been to Europe, but I only went to Amsterdam when I was 22 years old. And, you know, that's just a bunch of riffraff.
Yeah, but that's not exactly traveling and getting a cultural enlightenment, going to Amsterdam to smoke some weed, you know. But I wouldn't recommend you bringing drugs to China. I would not recommend bringing drugs to China. You may get your head chopped off. I don't know what they do here, but I imagine the penalties are pretty steep. The annoying thing about China is that it is a communist country. And everything's blocked. Like, there's no Google. There's no social media. There's nothing. Now, I was here in the past. Obviously, I fought in Shanghai and I fought in Macau. But last time I was here, my phone worked fine. But this time, zero. Blackout. Nothing works. It's pissing me off. Only thing I can see something is when I'm on my laptop in my room because I have a VPN. So the computer thinks I'm in England. But other than that, as I say, I can't connect with the outside world. I can't Google anything, which is really fucking annoying. Because when you're in a new place, you don't know where you're going. You want to look at your maps. You want to look at Google. You want to, you know, you want to figure it out. But none of that's working. But whilst it's a pain in the ass, it's also very refreshing. Do you know what I mean? Because I'm not looking at my social media every fucking 5 minutes. It actually feels nice.
Yeah, I know why you want Google, motherfucker. You're about to go commentate this half Asian card, and you need to be Googling your ass off right now.
Bro, I got out of bed at 5:30 a.m. this morning, okay? I went down to the gym. I had my workout, but like the biggest dork ever, I had my laptop with me in the gym, right? And I'm Googling fighters. Because you're right. Listen, this is a great card, and the more I've studied and learned about it, the fights are going to be fantastic. Some really, really talented fighters. A lot of Asian fighters that are making their debut. But when you look them up and you Google them, you research them, they are very, very good. So these fights are going to be awesome. And as I say, we're in this magnificent city. I think the arena's sold out. And the UFC are really, really hoping that way. Oh, I mean, I don't know. I'm assuming this. Pardon me. I shouldn't speak for the UFC there. But I'm assuming they want Wei Li Zhang to win because China is a massive market for them. There's 1.4 billion people. 1.4 billion people. That's a lot of people. Even if 10% of them get converted to MMA, that's another 140 million MMA fans that are going to buy TV deals, buy merchandise, all that type of stuff. So for Wei Li Zhang to come in here and beat Jessica Andrade, if she could do that, it's huge for the UFC.
Oh, yeah. And that's the other thing about we forget that because we can't really see past our own noses. You know, we're just so narcissistic as a culture, but it's like there's a huge world out there, and we always look at like the pay-per-view numbers in the US, and we look at like there's all of these other things that are happening out there, and there's TV deals and there's crazy other sides to this business, and the UFC wants to have global domination. That's the amazing thing about the sport. You don't need to know the rules, like with soccer, football, baseball, all these other things. You have to know the rules. If space aliens looked at somebody playing baseball, they'd go, what the fuck are they doing? This is silly. What is going on? But if space aliens saw a fist fight, they would get it.
No. You don't have to be a space alien to think that. I look at people playing baseball and I think, what the fuck? Why do you like this? It's the most boring thing I've ever seen in my life, okay? And I'm sorry to all you baseball fans out there, but I've been to a couple of games and they lasted like 6 fucking hours in the boiling heat, absolutely roasting, bunch of fucking nerds. Oh, what? Don't talk shit about baseball.
No, dude, we lost all of the fans on the gun control debate. We've lost half of the American audience already, okay? Now you're going to attack America's favorite pastime? What the fuck is going on right now, okay? Let us have something, Mr. Bisping. You took our guns, Christ. Give us our bats.
As you just said, okay, there is a big world out there. And not everybody likes your tittle-tattle sport. Not everybody likes to hit a ball with a stick and run in a circle. Okay, ooh, a lot of technique there. A lot of fucking brain power there. And as you say, there is a wide world out here. And there is definitely a language barrier. Because some of my conversations have been... If somebody was filming for a reality TV show, it would have been fucking hilarious. I had this poor guy yesterday... I ordered some coffee in my room. I was trying to do some research and drink some coffee. And I had my lunch. It was like a late breakfast. I had eggs Benedict and some coffee. And I wanted more coffee. So I ordered ordered coffee. The guy brings it up to the room. And he didn't bring milk or whatever. When he came back, I'm like, can I get more coffee? And he's like, oh, no. I'm like, yes, get more coffee. He's like, no more coffee. I'm like, listen, I'm the customer. I
want this isn't a debate. Coffee.
Yeah, it's not a debate. It's a fucking order, okay? I'm ordering you, right? As is designed, there's a button on the phone that is highlighted in room dining. I've pushed that button. I'm telling you, I want coffee. He's going, oh, no. No more coffee. I'm like, listen, motherfucker, get your ass downstairs and get me some coffee, all right? And eventually he came back with a coffee. But everywhere I go, that's what it is, you know, I mean, because they don't speak English. Of course they don't. Why would they? You know what I mean? And it's very challenging. I went for a walk yesterday, but I tell you what, there's some stylish motherfuckers out here. The fashion is very, very, I mean, I couldn't pull it off. It's oversized and baggy, but it's really, really cool. It's a very unique place. I strongly recommend checking out China at some point. I want to come back here with my family and do it properly.
Well, I mean, you have your own family there, the Bisping's Bisping family too. So you don't want to have them in the same place at the same time. That actually shows you how much Michael Bisping loves his family in America. He'd be willing to risk them crossing paths just to have them experience that insane culture.
I was downstairs in the lobby and some Chinese people came over. They wanted pictures and they mentioned the Bispings. They listened to the podcast and they said, oh, Mr. Bisping, will you be seeing the Bispings when you are here? And I laughed my ass off. I'm like, no way. It was so funny. So funny. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, man. We're taking Brian, over Asia with the podcast.
Brian, while we're talking about this, find out what is the penalty if I were to smuggle marijuana into China. Also, while you're looking that up, find out the penalty if you were to smuggle brass knuckles into China. So both of those, I want to find out what's going to happen because I
smuggled in some edibles. Nothing got said.
Mike, stop.
I got him in.
Stop admitting your crimes, please, for the love of God. You don't need to. Listen, you got away with it. You could walk into the sunset.
I don't want to drink, okay? I don't want to ingest tons of tequila like I did on Thursday night. I don't want to do that, okay?
I know, and then miss the podcast Friday morning. Listen, I think it's awesome. I would love to be able to go to China at one point. I've never been. Let me, before we get into the MMA talk, I want to talk about what this happened to me when I was in Hawaii. I went earlier today on... There's like a private island that almost like, it's like a conservation for birds. It's like this bird island. I don't fucking know, dude. They only got 7 letters in the Hawaiian alphabet. It's like H, N, K, and that's it, right? So everything is a Hukulakaliki island. Everything sounds alike. So I can't fucking sit here and be bothered. It was very nice. Whatever, if you look up Bird Conservatory, Honolulu, I'm sure you can figure it out, right? Little private island, and they had cliff diving. Where you jump off a cliff and it was maybe a 15-foot cliff, then there's a 25-foot cliff, 50-foot, and like a 110-foot cliff.
Yeah, we get what cliff diving is. You don't have to break it down. Generally, when you say cliff diving, it is what it says on the tin, but continue, please.
Well, here's the thing. People are jumping off the 125-foot cliff, the 50-foot cliff. I went to the 15-foot cliff and stood there for... 22 minutes, 22 minutes standing there, staring down as children are laughing at me. The guide was like, you know, I had an 84-year-old grandma do this one yesterday. And I literally didn't jump. I stepped down. It was a whole thing. I had to walk down and get away from people. And I pussied out. I didn't even make the jump, the 15-foot jump, the little one that kids were doing.
Well, if I had a shame bell, I would ring it. But I know what you're saying. Well, you're in China. Yeah, I'm in China.
It's a shame dong.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Shame dong dong. Jing jong. Jing jong ping pong. Shit, that's bad.
Hey guys, anyway, they kill you for smuggling weed into China.
Wait, what'd you say?
Really?
They kill you?
Yeah.
Shit. Redact that part of the statement. Edit. I don't want to die.
Fitzman, they're going to kill you. They're going to kill you. This isn't giving beers to your son and his college buddies in their dorm. That's a slap on the wrist. That's probably a felony as well. But this right now, this is your life on the line. You admitted some crazy shit right now.
I live by my own rules, Lewis. I live by my own rules, okay?
You're dangerous.
I flew, life on the edge, brother. So I flew, I was doing the Contender and then there was a mix-up with the flight. So I had to fly from the Contender straight to LAX. Rebecca drove to LAX, met me there with my suitcase. From there, I flew to Korea and then from Korea to China, right? And then we got off the plane and I had to go through security again in Korea because I thought I got through LAX security. I thought, oh, I'm good. Do you know what I mean? But then I had to go through security again in fucking South Korea. And I've got Xanax in there, right, to help me sleep. Got no prescription for it. And as I say, there's a few bits and bats in there that might be classed as illegal. You know what I mean? There's definitely some items that would get me in a lot of fucking trouble in the wrong fucking countries. And I'm like, shit, I've got to go through security in South Korea. So I put the bag in. I'm starting to sweat a little bit. Do you know what I mean? I'm like, oh, shit. And as it goes through the thing, it gets pulled to one side. And then a very serious guy walks over and he's like, is this your bag? And I'm like, oh, fuck. Oh, God, here we go.
Well, granted. Right here and there. Granted, how did you know if he was serious? It's a little bit difficult. Koreans, they have a very like straight face. He could have been happy. He could have been serious. He could have been having a fucking orgasm. Who knows?
A lot of bowl cuts as well. A lot of straight bowl cuts in South Korea. Do you know, everybody has the same haircut. No, but fortunately, I got to be honest, I was flapping a little bit. I thought, oh, God, here we go. I'm going to get fucking arrested here. I had a bottle of water in the bag. Thank God. He opened it up. He said, oh, you'll have water. I'm like, oh, okay. Sorry. And I was like being so nice, kissing his ass. Oh, I'm so sorry. He said, oh, it's okay. People do it all the time. Sorry. I shouldn't talk like that. Okay. I should not talk like that. But that is kind of like,
that was good. That was a good Korean. I'm very impressed. You did the dialect because you did Chinese before and you did Korean and they were very, very different.
You'll not have coffee. You'll not have coffee. The and then it was like
Chinese.
Water. They bring water all the time. Water, no problem. Oh, fuck. I'm going to hell. So, yeah, anyway, I'm in China. It's great. It's hot. It's humid. It's cool. I'm in, by the way, a lovely hotel, the Shangri-La in Shenzhen. Ooh, baby boy. I just went downstairs, worked out, 30 minutes on the whatever, I worked out, but in the gym, it's a hotel gym, it's free. You'd love it. It's like Equinox. You got a sauna, you got a steam room, you got a plunge pool, you got jacuzzi, you got massage rooms. And this is a hotel gym. It's pretty fucking exceptional. It really is. So I don't know what they charge per night, but the UFC are definitely making a big splash for China. All right, guys, let's just take a second to talk about Sheath underwear. Sheath is revolutionizing the underwear industry. Not only is their underwear incredibly comfortable, it's also the first ever underwear that I've worn that has a dual pouch for your downstairs area that keeps everything in place. It's the perfect underwear for when you're training, hiking, running, working out, hanging out, doing podcasts, whatever it is. Let me tell you, baby boy, I've got a pair on right now. It's like I'm not even wearing underwear. Now, my the junk in my trunk doesn't swing about, you know what I mean, because of that little pouch that it has. But honestly, I feel so free. It feels so effortless. In fact, it's smooth to the touch. I mean, I'm joking and being silly, but they are very, very comfortable. They're made out of a special fiber, but they're silky smooth to the skin, Louis.
I mean, that's the most important part, right? So you know the difference between wearing high-quality underwear, high-quality clothing, and crappy stuff. This is not the crappy stuff you get, you know, $3 for $8. First of all, they're really affordable considering the quality of them, but you feel like $1 million. When you wear nice clothes, you feel like $1 million, and that goes straight down to the underwear you're wearing, the socks you're wearing. It's not just the stuff on the outside, but the stuff on the inside, and I feel better when I wear these. They're so comfortable. The material's really, really nice. It's antimicrobial, so your balls don't smell. You know, honestly, listen, you're listening to this podcast. You probably have smelly balls. That's a fact, okay? Go to sheathunderwear.com. You're going to get the most comfortable underwear you've ever worn, not of smelly balls, and because you listen to the show, we give you a pretty crazy discount, don't we, Michael?
Oh, yes, we really do. And honestly, this is how much I like them. I tracked them down on Instagram and I sent them a message because they sent us some pairs, obviously, as samples. I swear to God, I text, I fucking love your underwear. Please tell the guys, the powers that be that run the company, that thank you for the underwear. They're awesome. And they sent me back a very nice message as well. So thank you for that. But seriously, I could not recommend these highly enough. I could not recommend them more enough. Anyway, so if you want to try them, you're on the lookout for underwear, go to sheathunderwear.com and get the most comfortable underwear you will ever wear. And when you're there on sheathunderwear.com, use the promo code BELIEVE30 to get 30% off. Also, they ship everywhere. They ship to the UK, so UK listeners can get pairs without having to pay crazy amounts of shipping. Once more, sheathunderwear.com. The promo code is BELIEVE30. Okay, where were we? I don't know. Where do you want to start?
Oh, let me, Mike. Baby boy. Let me just say real quick. I want to, for everyone that's listening on audio that you know, can't tell. I mean, obviously, there's probably a little bit of dropping in and out when we talk over each other. So just so you know, we're in two different parts of the world right now. We really made sure we came together to do this podcast. So I just wanted to give sort of a little preemptive thing. If there are any audio issues on this episode, it is what it is. But we'll be back to normal. Actually, Monday, we'll be in LA together.
Oh, yeah. No, 100%. I'll fly back Sunday. You get back. So Monday, that's great. We'll be doing multiple shows together. You know what I mean? The commitment is amazing. Before we get into China stuff, Darren Till versus Kelvin Gastelum making his middleweight debut at Madison Square Garden. Got to respect Darren Till for that one. I mean, that's a very, very tough fight to make your middleweight debut. Gastelum obviously had that great fight with Adesanya. Nearly knocked him out with that head kick, if you remember. But, you know, yep. He lost a decision. He beat Jacare. He got really lucky once in China one time. You know, he fought some, like, washed-up version of himself, some guy that was, like, really had no business being in there. But I forget the guy's name, but he beat him as well. So Gastelum, no joke. Tough fight, middleweight. For Darren Till, that's the right thing to do. Going down and killing yourself, getting to 170 isn't a smart thing to do. But it is a tough fight. It's a very, very, it's a ballsy fight. It's a ballsy fight for Darren Till because if he beats Gastelum, he's an immediate contender at 185. But if he loses to Gastelum, lost three in a row. So there's a lot to gain and there's a lot to lose. There really is. Three in a row. I mean, Darren Till's got no fear of this, but three in a row, sometimes people can get cut. You know, they'll be out of the organization. Till one, he's exciting. He's got a massive following. He's a huge star. So he's fine. But still, three in a row isn't good for stock.
If you remember years ago, another British superstar, Dan Hardy, I believe lost four, maybe even five in a row. And it was like a big unprecedented thing. But it was very obvious at that time, you know, as we were talking about it earlier about the UFC sort of wanting to go global, they were really trying to take over England. And Dan Hardy was such an exciting fighter. It was like he never had a boring fight in his life. He just was fighting the toughest motherfuckers. And he was doing it with like no grappling. He just was sitting there and punching dudes in the face. And I remember they didn't cut him after it was so many fights in a row. I forget, it was at least four fights in a row, maybe even five in a row.
Four in a row, GSP, Carlos Condit, Rumble Johnson, and Chris Little.
Rumble Johnson fought at 170. I forgot.
Isn't that insane that he fought at 170 pounds? By the way, incidentally, Anthony Rumble Johnson is coming back. Harrington, in a moment, just elaborate whether that's BKFC, Bare Knuckle, not Burger King, or UFC at heavyweight. Rumble Johnson, when you look at him, he is a monster of a man. And when I say he's fucking gigantic, and that's the way he hits. He hits so hard. He's a great fighter. So he's coming back. And you're absolutely right. Considering he fought at 170, Jesus Christ. And where is he coming back to, Harrington? Is it UFC or bare knuckle?
UFC. He's going to fight at heavyweight in the UFC.
Is it officially a UFC contract, or did you just say it's come back to MMA?
No, when I spoke to him at the BKFC event, he told me he's still under contract with the UFC. So for him to take any fight, it would have to be with them. And they, I guess, made a deal where he's going to come back. He's going to do 6 months of USADA testing to fill in with those rules. Then he'll be eligible to fight in the UFC by March of next year.
Oh, my God. Hark at him. Listen to him. Oh, it makes you want to throw up, doesn't it? Harrington, the intrepid reporter with his media pass. Oh, yeah. When I spoke with him backstage at Bare Knuckle FC, and we did an in-depth interview talking about the highs and lows of his career and, you know, what he really wants to achieve in life. And he told me in person, and it was an exclusive, he told me that, he's in the contract with the UFC.
I'm a real
MMA
journalist.
You so much. You stink so badly. Like, don't you see how much that stinks?
I'm just trying to be a professional here, guys.
It sucks. It just sucks. You're right. You're great. You talk well. You know your shit. You read the fucking articles. You just stink. There's no way around it.
No, right, no. Good for you, Harry. Good. Yeah, no. You're good. You're good. What else? I mean, there's tons of good notes in here. What else? You pick one, Lewis. Pick one. What do you want to talk about?
Let me look at the notes. I mean, look, we have a huge fight that you're at that we can talk about, but there's other stuff going on. I mean, look, just really quick, just let's react to that for a second, though. Rumble Johnson has come back at heavyweight. That's a big deal. That's not news that we just should skim over. I mean, that's a huge fight. I know that he said he was interested in fighting John Jones if he came back. I don't know if that would be at light heavyweight. Once again, I'm all about everyone moving, shifting up a weight class. Everyone right now, look at the weight class you fight in. Cut the bullshit. Shift up a weight class. Harrington, also, as we're talking about, you know, the weight classes as well, I know Paul Costa, that was an interesting thing that you put in the notes as well, and we can shift to that in just a moment. But I think Rumble Johnson coming back as a heavyweight, fighting John Jones in John Jones' heavyweight debut, that's a fucking massive fight.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, it's a difficult one for Rumble after being away so long, but that's the fight that everybody wanted to see at light heavyweight. They wanted to see Rumble versus Jones. That was like one of the big contenders that Jones never fought. And, you know, I mean, as crazy as this sounds, looking at the form of John Jones lately, I've got a sneaky feeling that Rumble could go in there and knock him out. And I'm not being disrespectful to Jones. Jones is the man. He hasn't been beaten yet. But just looking at that last fight with Thiago Santos and then looking at Rumble Johnson, the style and the power that he has, you know. You know, Jones is the greatest of all time. Let's just put it like this. It's a dangerous fight. Anthony Johnson against any other human being on planet Earth. You've got to give Rumble some respect and say, he's in there. And it's not just a puncher's chance. He's a big, strong, hard-hitting motherfucker that can do a lot of damage to a lot of people. So I'd love to see that. Only problem is, Lewis, he's coming back at heavyweight, not at light heavyweight. So, you know, there you go.
Yeah, but I mean, look, we've talked about it plenty of times. I want to see John Jones at heavyweight. That's what I want to say. I will scream this from the mountaintops. That will be the thing that brings MMA to the next level. Having the number one pound for pound fighter in the world hold the heavyweight title, John Jones, the same way we had Evander Holyfield, Mike Tyson, massive stars at heavyweight in boxing in the 80s and 90s. Now we have that in the UFC at heavyweight. That would be the absolute best thing for the sport. Not only the heavyweight division, but the actual sport.
I agree. It would be awesome. It'd be lovely to see. Sorry, I my mind drifted for a second there, obviously, with the high level of intellect that I operate with. My mind can think about several things at once. And I was just working out the mathematics involved in the situation with Paulo Costa, because I did just see that in the notes, what you mentioned a moment ago. And it is fascinating. And for the people that obviously can't read the notes on my iPhone, which is everyone else in the world, Harrington put in there that Paulo Costa, obviously just beat Yoel Romero in Anaheim, California, has been banned from fighting at 185 pounds again in California. Paulo Costa has been banned by the California State Athletic Commission from competing at 185 pounds because he regained 14.9% of his body weight from the weigh-ins to the cage. And the Athletic Commission in California have a limit of 15% increase. So now they've banned him from fighting at middleweight. And if
but isn't he under the limit?
Hold on. Let me look at the notes. What did he say?
Yeah, 14.
But if the limit's 15.
He came in at 14.9. The commission said that they were rounding up in this instance, I guess, because it was so close to like 14.9, like 7 or something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but you can't do that. If you have a rule that says 15% and he comes in under 15%, you can't go, oh, well, you know what? Round it up. You're banned, baby boy. Light heavyweight for you. You can't. Listen, they're a great commission. They really are, but you just can't do that. And by the way, I did the math, you know, as you were talking there, and it is a significant increase. I think that's around just under 27 pounds. I'd never use the calculator for this, but I think it's something like 26.825 pounds.
I can do that in my head. So 10% of 185 is 18.5 pounds. 18. Half of 18.5 is 9.25. So 18.5 plus 19.5 is 27.25 pounds. You're right.
Boom. Yeah. Math 101 with Luis J. Gomez. Hey, but I tell you what. So what does that make him? That makes him 108. That makes him like 210 pounds walking in there. I mean, that's a big, big increase. I mean, I remember when I was fighting, I'd go out there. Uno momento, por favor. I'd go out there and I'd weigh in at 185. I'd go out for dinner. I'd stuff my face. Everybody always said, oh, don't overeat. I'm like, listen, buddy, I've starved myself my entire fucking weight camp. Okay, there's one time I'm having a good meal. I'm carving it up. I'm eating pizza. I'm having dessert. I'm making myself happy, okay? And I would do that, and I would go to bed at 205 pounds. But I get out of bed in the morning, you know, unfortunately. It's a little crude, but I'd go to the bathroom. I'd take a massive dump, and I'd be, you know, about 200 pounds in the morning and go into the cage about 200. To go in at 210, I mean, that's massive.
212, yeah. 212.5 or 212.4, I guess, is the exact weight. It's massive, but he's playing by the rules. You can't fuck a guy because he's playing by the rules. I mean, saying he's ineligible is crazy. Maybe saying, all right, next time you have to be at under 14 pounds. Make the rules very clear. It's already confusing enough. You don't need to make it any more of a gray area. You don't need to make it any more confusing than it already is. The guy actually played by the rules. Don't punish him for that. And to be honest with you, he fucking fought an amazing fight. It's the most incredible fight. I love that fight.
It was an incredible fight. You're absolutely right. And he is playing by the rules. The rules say 15%. He came in at 4.97. He's playing by the rules. Stick to the rules. California State Athletic Commission, you get this week's Shane Bell as well. So, I mean, that's stupid, isn't it, really? All right, guys, listen. Not everybody can be me. Not everybody can have a full head of hair. That's just, to be honest, my hair is, it's an annoyance. It is. I've got so much of it. It's thick. It's luscious. You know, I've got to wash it so much. I spend a lot of time, a lot of money on conditioner. You, Lewis, you don't have that problem. But for me, I want to keep hold of this. So I use Keeps. What is Keeps? Well, Keeps offers generic versions of the only two FDA-approved hair loss products out there. Some of you have probably tried them before, but now, thanks to Keeps, they're finally inexpensive and easy to get. Starting at just $10 a month, you'll never have to worry about hair loss again, and getting started with Keeps is very, very easy. Sign-up takes less than 5 minutes. So, just answer a few questions. Snap some shots of your hair. Then a licensed physician will review your information online and recommend the right treatment for you and have it shipped to your door every 3 months. This is no bullshit. It's not one of these scams. It's proper stuff. And you will keep hold of your hair, Lewis.
Well, the best part of all this, Mr. Bisping, listeners of the Believe in Me podcast are going to get their first month of treatment absolutely free. First month of treatment free. All you got to do is go to keeps.com. That is KEEPS.com/believe. KEEPS.com/believe. You get your first free month of treatment at keeps.com. Make sure you do that right now. And you got to use that exact link. Keeps.com/believe. Keeps, hair today, hair tomorrow. All right, where were we?
So what else we got, Lewis? Oh, Jesus Christ. Oh, man. I mean, this was hard to see, but somebody sent me the video via text. And then obviously, if you look on Twitter or any MMA website right now, the footage came out of BJ Penn fighting in a street fight in Hawaii. I think by the looks of it, they'd been out to a club or something like that. And he got into a scrap with someone outside. And there's two videos doing the rounds. There's one video where BJ gets knocked out and it looks like some big fat shirtless slob is kind of attacking BJ. Now, we don't know how it started. You know what I mean?
It looks like Harrington, to be honest with you.
Harrington had his shirt off, fucking attacking BJ Penn, right? And he was going for the single leg on... I didn't realize Harrington's wrestling was so good. Harrington's going for the single leg. BJ's defending. And he's like, come on. BJ's like, come on, brah. Come on. You're in Hawaii. You do the Hawaiian accent. Go.
He's like... Hey, bro, come on, man. I can't do it. Hey, bro, hit me in the face, man. That's
Jamaican. Here we go. Let's take a look at it. See, look, he's trying to get the single leg. From there, BJ's going, come on, bro, hit me in the face, man. Yeah. Sure,
pretty
bro.
Impressive, actually.
And then he does a left right. I think the first one was a slap, and then the second one was a left hook.
Well, BJ tells him to hit him. BJ does this, one of the worst moves you could ever do in a street fight, which is he put your hands down at your sides and go, yeah, hit me. I mean, look, it is what it is. I mean, you can get hit by a fucking big dude that looks like a pretty big guy. You can get laid out no matter who you are. It's just the mentality of the guy. Here's what I take from this fight. This guy had to have some sort of fighting experience. Because BJ is a living fucking legend. He tried to take him to the ground. He's going for a fucking single leg. This guy right now, realized dude of the week. I love BJ, but you got to give this guy a ton of credit. It was fucking great. The balls on this guy. God bless his soul. If a UFC fighter was trying to fight me, I'd be like, dude, there's no way.
Yeah, but as you said, he must have had some kind of fight experience because he was going for the single leg. You know what I mean? And that's like, you know, a wrestling move. And then he throws hands. Not to mention the guy looked like he weighed, I don't know, 250 pounds. He was a big, big guy. And then BJ's like, listen, okay, come on, hit me. Now, there's two schools of thought with that. Number one, you're absolutely right. In a street fighting situation, you're asking to potentially get knocked out. If you're letting someone have a free shot, it's not a good thing. But on the flippity flip flop, right? If you say, come on, hit me. And then the guy cracks you. Oh, well, guess what, baby boy? It's now it's fucking game time because you just cracked me in the face. And now I've got fucking full you know, you can't go over top, but you can defend yourself. You know what I mean? He cracks him, he knocks him out. And like, even though he got dropped and it was a flash knockout, the next video that I saw, the guy's face down on the floor, BJ's on top of him, beating the living crap out of him. Did you see that one?
I did not see the other one. Which one was first, though? Because the end of the fight is the most important part of that fight, baby boy. So BJ Penn was not intelligently defending himself. So depending on where that happened in that fight, that guy gets that win.
Yeah, but look at this one. Look, face down, getting pummeled to the max. Listen, in my reality, I like to think that that's the second one. The first one, the guy started a fight with BJ, went for a single leg. BJ's like, listen, bro, come on, man. Smoke up a little bit of weed, a bit of ganja, man, and just like calm it down. Come on, give me your best shot, bro. And he hits him in the face, yeah? And he's like, come on, let's have a red stripe and relax, man. And that's Jamaica as well. No, and in the second one, he takes him down and he beats the shit out of him. Listen, chat shit, get banged. Get banged, get banged back. You know what I mean? He took him down, he beat the crap out of him. Now, everyone's talking shit. And it is, listen, regardless, and all fun aside, it is sad to see. And I'm sure BJ, I don't know what's going on. I don't know if the police is involved. If they are, it's not good. You know, it seems that BJ is in headlines a lot recently. All for the wrong reasons. And I love BJ. He's such a great guy. And I'm good friends with BJ. And Jason Perillo, obviously, is very, very close with BJ. So I hope he's well. I hope everything's good. I hope there's no police involved. You know, but shit's crazy. You know, people start fights. You know, I mean, he's going out, he's drinking. And, yeah, it's just sad to see. Because BJ Penn, you know,
it's not
one
ideal.
Of the most legendary
he's a legend.
Fighters.
He's a legend. And yeah, it's sad to see. I mean, look, I don't really have a huge problem with two guys getting into a street fight, right? If nobody's going over the top and being excessive and people aren't jumping people and people aren't throwing bottles, two guys just going up back and squaring up and punching each other in the face, that's sometimes the best solution, you know? And it seems like these are two able-bodied guys who wanted to fight. I don't know where it happened. BJ Penn, you know, you don't want it to be like he's just constantly in the headlines for horseshit at the end of his career. You know what I'm saying? I kind of take it back to you with just sort of like how you wanted to be remembered at the end of your career. And, you know, we talked about it on, I think it was the last show or maybe the show before, where you didn't even want to take a fight where you were going to just be disrespectful and rude and get yourself worked up because you wanted to end your career on sort of a high note. And you wanted to, you know, you wanted to go out on a high note and sort of go out with some sort of respect and class. And I feel like BJ, there's been again and again, a couple of street fights now, there was the domestic stuff. I want to see BJ, you know, be remembered for what he is, which is one of the greatest fighters of all time. First, what is the not the first lightweight champion. Was it the first lightweight champion?
No, he was the first two-weight division champion. The first two-weight division champion. Not simultaneously, but I think he was the first guy to be 170.
170 and 155. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, listen, it's sad to see, you know. By the way, side note, I have no problem. If two guys agree to a fight and they want to fight and it doesn't cause a massive disruption and it doesn't, you know, spoil the peace and put people in danger, if they want to go to a quiet room and just fight out the fucking issues, I have no issue with that. I have no problem with that. And if that's what they want to do, maybe doing it in the streets in front of everybody isn't good because that's public order and you're causing a disruption of the peace. But, you know, two guys want to go duke it out and settle the fucking problems the old-fashioned way, I'm all for it. So, listen.
That's going to happen. That's going to happen on Monday with me and you. If we're doing this, baby boy, this is it. I'm in town on Monday. I'm ready to throw the fucking heat, okay? I issued another challenge publicly on Twitter, okay? I will let you tie your hands in front of you. You cannot use your hands to strike at all.
Well, I'm not going to use them to strike. What are you going to do? Like some big, weird, barbaric, bludgeoning, double hammer fist? No, baby boy. Yes. No, I'm saying that. My knee's really bad. I went for a walk yesterday. And I'm not making excuses, but my knee's fucked.
Well,
even still with bad knee, I'm down. Even with my hands tied in front of you, I'll elaborate some kind of strange takedown. Like, listen, I don't care. Bring it on, baby boy. Kill me. But I'll tell you what, you do realize in that little tiny studio that we're going to do it in, I have the advantage because it's a small space. It's like fighting in a phone booth. Things will get broken. I mean, where do you want to do this? You want to go down my gym, UFC gym, Costa Mesa? We got an octagon, baby boy. We can do it.
We're doing it in a fucking octagon, obviously. We're not doing it in a fucking, in a tiny little studio where you're just going to kick me in the head and then knock me out. That's ridiculous. No, we're going to do it in a fucking ring or in an octagon, and we're going to film it, and we're going to play it on the show, and we'll see what happens. I'm ready, baby boy.
And again, I'm not making excuses, but the thing is, I'm just feeling, I had no surgery and it's still not right. But you know what? I'm not scared of you. It's fine. Just don't crack me full on the end of the nose, because you might fucking break it again, because it's still, my nose is still numb. I had surgery in January and my nose, I still have no feeling. So, but whatever, baby boy. You just listen, I'll give you one fucking leg kick and you'll be on the floor screaming like a little girl. Okay, done. One kick, bang. I say, right, now can we end this shit, Lord? Can we stop going on? Can you get a grip on reality, Lewis? Okay, that is how it's going to go down. And I'm not trying to say, ooh, I'm so hard. That's not what I'm trying to say. I'm just trying to say, I've rolled with you. I've trained with you. I've been there. There's levels to the game. Respect to you. Respect all fighters that are willing to walk into the octagon. But it won't even be close, baby boy. All right, guys, today's episode is brought to you by Wix.com. Wix give you the freedom to create the website that you want. Whether you're promoting a business, showcasing your work, or opening an online store, you can do it all with Wix. We love Wix because it's easy to use. We built the Believe You Me pod. Well, Harrington did the BelieveYouMePod.com using Wix. It has past episodes of the show on there, and it even has a link to buy my book. Wix helps you get your business in front of the people that you want to know about it whilst looking professional and saving you money also. If you've got a business, you've got anything, I don't know, you're just creating content, you're doing a podcast, so anything that you're doing, you need a website in this day and age. And let me tell you, Wix is really easy to use. Harrington built our website. You can check it out at BelieveYouMePod.com. You will see how slick it is, and it really is easy to use. So please go to BelieveYouMePod.com, and there's a link. Click on that link, and you will get 10% off any Wix premium plan, Lewis.
Yeah, you can build the website for free. If you go to Wix.com right now, you can start a website right now absolutely free. But if you decide to have a premium plan, you save 10% off by using the link directly on the website. So you know what's up, guys. You need a website if you have any business. If you're doing anything in the world where you want to get your name out there, do it through Wix. They make it super easy, and do it through BelieveYouMePod.com. All right, where were we? Did you see that on the subreddit? They're trying to set up a triple threat match between me, you, Harrington, and the Fighter and the Kid and their producer. I'm all about this. I love this. I think if this is the way to get our podcast to the top of the charts, okay? We have a triple threat death match, okay? Every man for himself. This isn't like one-on-one, because that's the way they're setting it up. It's like you versus Schaub, me versus Callan, and then Harrington versus their Asian producer. Uh-uh. This is every man for himself, okay?
Stop. Why did you have to highlight that he's an Asian producer? You know what I mean? Yeah. He's an Asian producer, but why do you feel the need? You know, we're not talking to, you didn't highlight anyone else's ethnicity. You didn't say Michael's white, Harrington's white, I'm Puerto Rican and he's Asian. You know, you never went into that.
I'm just saying.
You felt the need to highlight that he was Asian.
Have we ever seen an Asian UFC champion?
We may see one tonight. Wei Li Zhang is taking on Jessica Andrade. She has the hopes and the prayers of 1.44 billion people on her shoulders. China wants to be taken seriously on the world stage in mixed martial arts. And I don't care what you say. They've probably got the most booming economy in the world. Look out there. You can't see, but I see shit that looks like it's out of there. What's that movie?
Show me the movie.
You can't.
Big Country, Little China.
Well, you don't really see it, but at night it's pretty.
It looks like New York.
It's better than New York. I'm telling you. It's better than New York. I flew in. I don't know what I was expecting. I'm like, holy shit, look at this. It's a sprawling metropolis. No, Wei Li Zhang, man. She's taking on Jessica Andrade, right? Listen, 3-0 in the UFC. She's a very, very good fighter. She's had three good fights. She beat Tisha Torres, Jessica Aguilar, and then one other lady. I forget her name. And she looked good in all those fights, right? Jessica Andrade just went out there and beat the crap out of Rose Namajunas. She didn't beat the crap out of her. She was actually losing the fight. And Rose looked sensational. However, she was able to pick her up and slam her on her head, spike her on her head, and knock her out. So she's now the champion, and she's a great fighter. I mean, if you look at Andrade versus Karolina Kowalkiewicz, I don't know if you saw that. She knocked her out cold. Andrade is you know, she's a real threat. She really is. She's a savage, savage, vicious fighter. And Weili Zhang as well. She's big. She's strong. She dominates people. So I think she's got a real chance. However, to beat Andrade, she's going to have to fight the perfect fight. We spoke to Weili on Thursday. We did some interviews. And, yeah, she's looking to, you know, utilize a similar game plan that Jan Jacek did. But also she said she's going to walk forward and meet her in the middle. She said she's confident. She's stronger than her. She can throw her around, to which Andrade kind of laughed and kind of giggled and said she's interested to see how strong Weili is. So, listen, I think it's going to be a great fight. For the hardcore fans that really, really follow the ins and outs of mixed martial arts, they know about this and they're excited. I guess for the casual fans, Weili Zhang isn't exactly a crossover star. But out here in China, man, I tell you, if she wins, she's going to be a big, big, very, very famous celebrity out here in China.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not super familiar with Zhang, but to be honest with you, I know she's got a ton of hype right now. Ronda Rousey tweeted something about her being like the next big thing. So there's a legitimate chance she could win this fight right now. Andrade is a minus 170 favorite going into the fight. Harrington, what do you think of it? Because you gamble a lot on these fights. Is that a good fight to what is it? What are the odds on Zhang?
I'm looking them up right now. I mean, for me, this is a huge stay away. Andrade is an absolute monster. We know, we've seen with her power. We've also seen her give away first rounds. I believe it was in the Tisha Torres fight, Mike, that they brought you in. The first time I ever heard you commentate on a fight, you talked about how she gave away the first round and needed to utilize her wrestling to get Torres down. Giving away, you know, the early rounds in a championship fight do kind of scare me, and she's already done it once against Rose, so I don't know where to come in betting-wise on this fight. But Weili Zhang, you can get her between plus 150 and plus 170, depending on where you book it.
You know what I want to do, Harrington? I want to give you your own segment on the show where you give your picks to gamble, and then our fans can start betting their livelihoods on your picks. Look, sure, he's homeless. Sure, he has no place to stay.
What are you doing? Listen, you cannot. I appreciate every single person that tunes into this podcast, that listens, that watches on YouTube, that subscribes, that spreads the word, that comes up to me and makes subtle references that only people that listen to the podcast would make. Half of the comments on my Instagram page are references to the podcast. I respect and admire and I'm thankful of every single one of them. Why would we give them misinformation? Why would we encourage them to take the advice of Harrington, that has no fight experience whatsoever, never had a fight in his life, doesn't know the fight. Listen, facts are facts, baby boy. Doesn't know the finer nuances, the ins and outs. Doesn't even train. Isn't a black belt in jiu-jitsu. Isn't a coach. Hasn't been around for MMA a long time, okay? Or I could make the picks. A former champion, UFC commentator, analyst of the year. But no, you're right. For comedy value, but I'm not saying that we do this in a way where people listen to them. We'll just keep a tally of it to see how many times he fucks up. But let's not encourage the believers, you know, to
well, actually why don't we give Harrington 500 BYM bucks? Not real, just BYM bucks. And it's fantasy bucks. So he takes it and he can put $100 down on tonight's fight. He can put 50, he can put it all down. And we will, if Harrington can get, here's what I'll say. If Harrington
if he could turn that into 10,000 BYM dollars, we'll give him 1,000 real dollars.
That's a great deal. Yes. Harrington,
yes.
If you could turn that into
yes, I'm in. I get to gamble with free money. But hold on. There has to be a consequence. If you don't make it and you lose the money, what's the consequence?
Well, there's going to be a time limit on it as well. So I would say he's got to do it within, I'd say within 3 months. 1 month is very fast.
2 months.
Sure. How many? What if there's only two events in the next 2 months? That's the problem.
Well, there's nearly a fight every weekend. But the problem is here, I mean, who's going to keep track of this? Who's going to monitor this? Who's going to add it?
He will.
Who's going
to
look?
He has nothing to do. Yeah, he's sleeping in a park.
He's going to lie. Do you know what I mean? We need to keep. He's like, oh, all of a sudden, hey, baby boys, I made $20,000 actually. So, yeah, I'll take that $2,000. Thank you so much. Because I ain't fucking cross checking it. I ain't doing all that. I've got enough shit to do. I've got to figure out who Jung Young Park is. Okay. Right. You got down that fight card. There's some very unfamiliar names. I've got to fucking wax lyrical about them. I've got to talk about their backgrounds, where they grew up, why they got into mixed martial arts, that rocky patch they went on in their adolescent years, you know, but yet they were found and saved through mixed martial arts. I've got to do all that. I've got to focus. I can't be keeping track of fucking Harrington's fantasy BYM dollar thingy, Bob.
I believe if Harrington tried to fuck us, first of all, I would beat him within an inch of his life. I literally would beat him up. But if he tried to fuck us, the fans would let us know easily. The fans will be keeping track as well. Harrington's not going to screw us over. I believe it. And if he doesn't, here's what I would say. He has five events to turn $500 into 10,000 BYM dollars. That's... five events. What, Harrington? What is the problem?
That's an insane task to do. I need to make 20 times my money in the course of five fights. That's a huge...
I mean, have you got the skills to pay the bills? I mean, can you do this, Harrington? I thought you're the big time analyst. I mean, you're backstage, you're fucking Uncle Johnson. You know what I mean? He's flirting about, he's mixing with Ariel Helwani these days. You know what I mean? He's got the inside scoop. He's got a direct line to Dana White. You know, can you do this or not, Harrington?
So you want to be a fake fucking gambler. Do you want to do that?
Yes, sir. All right. I mean, look, I can make that happen. This card's going to be tough, Mike. I would like any advice you can give me on this because I don't know. I don't know too many of these.
Eight events.
Doable.
All right.
I think eight's fair.
We got to start with this event, right? Main event, Wei Li Zhang taking on Jessica Andrade. It happens in a few hours. So if anyone wants to watch it, I think it's early out there in America. So please do check it out. Main event, I mean, it's kind of silly to go against Jessica Andrade simply because she's fought better competition. I think she's 7-1 since going down to strawweight. She's looked sensational. Only person to beat her was Jan Jacek. But I tell you what, I've kind of got a feeling that Wei Li may pull it off. I really do. I think she might just do it. Now, I'm not saying that's my official pick, but I just feel like, you know, of course, Andrade is the favorite for a reason. You know, there's a reason why she's the favorite, but, you know, Wei Li is 3-0 inside the UFC. Hasn't looked as impressive. They haven't been finishes, but they have been dominant wins. She's clearly won very dominantly. And I think she's 19-1. She lost her MMA debut. Other than that, she's been perfect. You know, so I've got Andrade winning, although I wouldn't be surprised if Wei Li does it. Co-main event, Eliza Zaleski dos Santos, the stupidest, longest name ever. However, very, very good fighter. He's 7-0 so far and a 7-5 win streak in the welterweight division. I mean, what do I call the guy? Eliza
Zaleski? It's a co-main event. You can't say he's the stupidest, longest name ever.
No, Eliza Zaleski dos Santos Marantos Tanto Basanda Badandan, right? It's like, whoa. We got to trim this down. Like, my full name is Michael Gavin Joseph Galen Bisping. But I don't walk into the cage as Michael Gavin Joseph Galen Bisping. Pick one, Eliza or Zaleski. It cannot be Eliza Zaleski dos Santos. You can't have four names.
Yeah, Eliza dos Santos. In fact, I'll say, fuck it, Eliza Santos. Fuck it. I'll just say Liza San.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Izan. Old Izan. Back in the cage again. Looking for his eighth win. I'll tell you what, though. Fucking Izan. He's on a roll. I think he's finished his last four. If you see his fight against Sean Strickland, knocked him out. Beautiful spinning wheel kick. He knocked out some guy called Vendramini with a beautiful flying knee. He's legit. He's a capoeira guy. I think that's his nickname, capoeira. He still does capoeira once a week because it's his roots. But Li Jingliang, the leech on the other side, is also a very, very tough fighter. But I'm going to pick Izan. I'm going with Izan. Izan's going to get the Weezan. Okay? Eliza Zaleski dos Santos wins the fight. I'm going to put all my 1,000 BYM dollars on Izan.
500. How about this? We all three of us get 500 BYM dollars.
Yeah, that's better.
I like it.
Okay,
you're
so
putting them all. You're putting all...
No, I'm not. I'm gonna put $250 on Ezan.
$250 on Ezan, and then you just are you holding on to the rest of your money?
Well, yeah, there's other fights. I'm gonna put that on some others. Well,
this is where it gets. Wait a minute,
there's. Well, I was gonna say, Harrington, before you get in there, I feel like we should give all the fans also $500 BYM, and we should create our own fantasy league, and then we could turn this into a business. This could be an app within a year, baby boy. You got millions of dollars. You got a half mansion. We can turn it into billions. Let's go.
We have a hard enough time buckling down 2 hours a week to do a fucking show. Now we're creating our own currency that can be turned into real money. We're developing apps. I'm in the Silicon Valley of China right now. I'm going to schedule a couple of meetings. There's some big buildings over there. I think tomorrow I'm going to be in the top floor in the boardroom, sitting people down. They're going to, oh, Michael Bisping, welcome. And I'll be like, hey, listen, I've got a thing for you, okay? BYM dollars, okay? It's a revolutionary sporting app.
It's a crypto. BYM. We have our own cryptocurrency. This is perfect. We can get into the crypto market right now. BYM bucks. Everyone will buy into BYM bucks. All the fans.
BYM coins. That's what it is. Listen, Timmy coin.
Bitcoin. Bitcoin.
Bime coin.
Bime coin.
Bounty, BYM coins. Yeah, BYM coins. Okay, I'm putting 250 on Ezan, and I'll stick 100 on Andrade. What have you got, baby boy?
I'm going to throw 300 on Andrade, and anything else? I don't know. Maybe I'm. You know what? I'm going to hold on to 200 of my BYM coin, and I'm throwing 300 on Andrade. I'm going to get a nice easy win. Boom, baby boy. We'll check in next week, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, absolutely. You've got to hold on to those BYM coins because, you know, it's a volatile market right now. I mean, I had a significant amount of Bitcoins, not BYM coins, Bitcoins, and they got up to $8,000 per coin. And I thought, oh, and I got them at like $1,500. I was like, ooh, I'm going to sell them. And I sold them all. And then like within 2 weeks, those Bitcoins were worth $13,000 each. So, you know, I sold them for almost half the amount. I was so pissed off. All right, guys. Today's episode is brought to you by Whoop. We are incredibly excited to have Whoop on board. It's the perfect fit for the show. Whoop is the performance tool changing the way people track their fitness and optimize their training. It's a heart rate monitor for the wrist that connects to their app and gives you the absolute best analytics and insight to your recovery, strain, and sleep. After every workout, Whoop will give you a strain score that lets you know how strenuous your workout was on the body. Then you'll get training tips based on your body's recovery time to take the guesswork out of how hard to push your body for optimal training. With Whoop, you're going to get daily updates on your body, whether it's if you need to rest, if you got to work more, you got to sleep more, you got to push it more in the gym, or maybe you're going too hard, maybe you're overtraining. This will give you all the information that you need. You love this, Lewis.
I love it. Well, the sleep coach is a thing that I really like because when I started using it, I found out how little sleep I'm getting. Sleep and resting is such an important part of achieving fitness goals. This is a thing that I think nobody really talks about. Everyone knows you have to do cardio and strength training. You have to eat right, blah, blah, blah. But the amount of rest and recovery time you give yourself is really, really important. And this was a huge difference for me. The new Whoop Strap 3.0 can last 5 days without needing to be charged. So you're going to get a ton of incredible analytics and tips to optimize your performance.
Yeah, basically, listen, everybody's trying to work out. Well, not everybody, but, you know, a lot of people recognize health and fitness. You want to live a healthy lifestyle, but you got to know what you're doing. You got to know a little bit of science behind it. Just running blindlessly on a treadmill or just pushing yourself to the brink of exhaustion isn't very smart, okay? So give this a try. Seriously, it will help you on so many different levels, as we just said, sleep, recovery, whether you need to go more, whether you need to do less. So you like the sound of this? Go to whoop.com, WHOOP.com, and use the promo code BELIEVE. You will get 15% off a 12 to 18 month membership. Remember, whoop.com, promo code BELIEVE, WHOOP, then .com, then a BELIEVE. Yeah, that's your code. You'll get 15% off a 12 to 18 month membership. Trust me, you will love this. Give it a try. Whoop.com. All right. Where were we, Lewis? Hold on 1 second. You just give a plug and I'll be BRB. Be right back. 1 second.
There you go, baby boy. Hey, you guys love the show? Take a moment right now. Right now. Pause the show. Go to our iTunes. leave us a 5-star ranking, positive review. Go tell some friends about the show. You know what the fuck's up. You're a believer. You're part of the revolution, okay? Right now, iTunes, tell some friends. Go to our YouTube channel, which is growing fucking tremendously. Subscribe on our YouTube channel for all the latest episodes, plus exclusive clips. And last but not least, if you want every episode of the show that we've ever done, it's available at GasDigitalNetwork.com, the entire on-demand library with pre-release, uncensored, and ad-free. Use the promo code BYM for a 14-day free trial. Are these your notes, Mr. Bisping?
Oh, this is the vast amount of research and stuff. I mean, look at this, color-coded, you know. Oh, what do you want to know about Sumedarji? What do you want to know? Oh, beautiful fly knee against Bidzin Gavashvili at WLF.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
22. Highlight shells.
I love strategy. WLF.
Jung Young Park, you say? Whew, plethora of notes on this guy. Yeah, look at this. This is what I do. It's work. So, you think it's all fun and games? You think it's all first-class tickets and spas and fancy steaks? Okay, no. Many, many hours slogging away in the lab, right? Watching fights, taking notes, looking for tendencies, looking for strengths and weaknesses, putting it all together, developing a bigger picture in my mind so I could convey this to the audience, you see?
Baby boy, you're preaching to the choir. I meet people randomly in the streets and I say, do you understand the type of commentator that Michael Bisping is? Do you understand what the UFC has? They don't even get it. I just say this to random people, not even UFC fans. They're like, who the fuck is Michael Bisping? I'm like, you don't know who Michael Bisping is? I get in their face.
Yeah. I mean, I've now got people stopping me in the streets. Yeah, I love doing hyperdrive. I'm like, sorry, I can't talk to you. I've got to get up to my room and find out who Jung Young Park is. Okay, I've got to go and study him. I'm sorry, I'd love to take pictures and chat, but I can't. Anyway, there you go. What should we do?
So look, let's Harrington should make his picks real quick, and then let's get a couple fan questions in. I know you got to go study right now. You're going to be on air in just a few hours, so I'm going to be watching it, by the way, live from Hawaii. So Harrington, who are your picks? How are you spending that 500 BIM coin?
Well, I think what makes the most sense to me is the over 3.5 rounds, which means it needs to get past the 2:30 mark of round number 3.
Oh, God.
I can
He's
get that.
Doing some specific
Jesus
shit.
Christ, Harrington, stop. Stop. Just say I'm going to put fucking 300 BIM coin on whatever. Don't break it down. You are not Yanni the Greek, okay?
Well, you know what he's doing is – So what he's doing is he's not betting on just a winner or loser. He's betting on that the fight gets past a certain point in the fight. That's like another odd. That's another set of odds altogether, which I think that's fair. He can do that.
It's the best way to make money.
No,
in fights.
You can. It's called an over under. Okay. All right. So the over under you want, what is it, Harrington?
I'm going to take the over. It's -139. It's got to get past the 2:30 mark of round number 3. And I'm going to put
in the main event.
I'm going to put enough to win 150, so let me do the math on that. And I think that's all I'm going to bet for this.
Just do that later. This is the worst podcasting ever. People don't want to hear us try to work out the math, okay? Just say you'll do that. How much are you putting on again?
Well, I'm going to put 208.50 to win 150.
I hate him.
Yo,
listen, take a leaf out of the California State Athletic Commission and round up, okay? Put 210 pinpoints on. Just fucking round it up, baby boy. What are you doing?
I gotta turn this into 10,000. I got 2 months to do it. Come on.
You got to make some big moves right now. Winning $150 is not going to be anything. You need to be doing some sort of parlay. You need to be making some big, big bets. $150? Sure. Now you have $650. You're very far off still.
$650 for Abu Dhabi. I mean, I'd rather just, you know, book a small win here and then bet big at Abu Dhabi.
Listen, can we just keep it on the task at hand? You're putting 210 on, and Andrade to go past that. Okay, all right. Very, very good. Very good. Okay, questions? Have we got any questions? What do we got?
If you guys want to join the conversation, shoot us an email, bympod@gmail.com, bympod@gmail.com. We always love your questions. You guys can send in fan art. You can send in video questions, audio questions, really anything you want. If we like it, we'll put it on the air. So what do we got here, Harrington?
All right. This first question is from Tariq Holmes. Lewis, your MMA career is a rocket ship right now. You're 2-0 and taking on all comers, even one of the greatest middleweights of all time. If you could avenge one of Michael's losses, who would it be?
It's a great question. It's a great question, Tariq. avenge one of Michael's losses. I mean, look, first of all, I'll tell you right now, I don't believe that Michael Bisping has any losses. If you look at, if you go through his career, it has been cheater after cheater after cheater, and stolen victory after stolen victory. I mean, let's get real. That Chael Sonnen fight, we all know what happened. Kelvin Gastelum, that was a fucking early stoppage. We know what was going to happen if Michael Bisping got back up, okay? So if I have to pick one that was on the records as a loss, what?
I don't need you to condescend my career, okay? I've got some watching on that, okay? I don't need you sitting there making excuses from your very shitty lit studio that you got going on, by the way. I mean, I travel the world, you know, and I'm... If you could see, I have rearranged this bedroom. I have taken this desk that was over there. I've carried it here. I have the laptop on top of the dustbin, okay? This is what I do. I've got lighting set up. I'm doing everything I can. What is going on there? I mean, what is going on? And then you have the audacity to condescend my career. You know, listen, I'll fight my own battles. I'll talk my own battles. I admit, I was beaten here and there. You know, I'll take my losses like a true warrior. I don't need you to belittle me. It quite frankly, it's pathetic and I'm offended, Lewis.
All right, fine. You know what? I will fight his toughest fights. I don't even need to fight his losses. I'll go beat the guys that he beat to let him to get in his head for Monday morning's fight. How about that?
Dan Henderson is retired now. He's too old. Dan Henderson.
How would you answer that question if you could avenge one loss? I don't know, it's stupid, it's very silly, but thank you for the question. It was a good question. I don't need to avenge anything. I'm going to fight Michael Bisping on Monday morning and show him once and for all who is the most alpha dominant podcaster in the game, and that's that. And then every time I'm going to walk in a room, he's going to have to look down at his feet and just question who he is as a man.
Two things. One, when you come down, are you going to be wearing, are you still going to be adorned in your Hawaiian, you know, your lei? I see that you're wearing a lei. Okay. Are you still going to have that on? Okay.
You'd be able to wrap your hands into it and pull me down with some sort of technique. I know what you're trying to get me to do. No way, dude.
Secondly, so you're going to drive down to Costa Mesa. We're going to do it there.
No, we're not driving to Costa Mesa. You're meeting me in LA for the podcast. You are the former UFC middleweight champion of the world.
Yes. We're going to meet in LA, but we don't have a fucking octagon in LA. UFC gym. Any gym would let
you could walk into any gym in LA, literally any gym in LA, and they're like, "Oh, it's Michael Bisping. Let's let him go film a little fucking thing with his really badass friend right now."
His badass friend with his weird necklace. What was the question? There wasn't a question. All right. Okay. All right. Well, that's very, very kind of you to take on all my losses. I appreciate it. And thanks for belittling me and making excuses for me. I appreciate that.
Well, there's a second half to that question. Michael, I'm a huge fan of you and the podcast, and I was thinking of starting a little rinky dink podcast of myself with a friend of mine. Any tips you'd give out?
Oh, yes, many, many, many. You know, you need to make sure that you have a solid producer on hand, okay? First of all, you need somebody that can flawlessly, you know, handle the multimedia aspects. Someone needs to flawlessly integrate videos, sounds, questions, and get it right first time. Secondly, that'd be my main piece of advice. Get a good microphone.
That really is it. Get a good microphone is the most important thing. And do it. Just be consistent. I wrote a blog specifically about how to start a podcast, but just jump in, do it, be consistent. The most important thing is consistency, and we know that. We know that, everyone listening right now. We're trying to be as consistent as possible. We've been coming out with at least one per week for the past couple of months. So it does happen. Once in a while, we get very busy. But believe me, we know first and foremost, the most important thing is being consistent with the podcast. So do that. And yeah, having great audio. And doing it with somebody you like. You have to like it. If you're not enjoying it, the truth is, if you're not having a good time doing it, the audience picks up on that. And it's weird and it's uncomfortable. And they can feel it. You know what I'm saying? It's a very intimate thing. You're right in their ears. You're with them on their ride to work or while they're at the gym or they're in the steam room or whatever it is. So really do it with somebody you actually like doing it with.
Yeah, I mean, because the thing is... you're absolutely right. And I feel like we are, for the most part, pretty consistent. I mean, I think we've been doing two a week now for a while. And even though we both travel a lot, we still try and get it in because, you know, we want to build it. We want it to grow. And as you said, you hit the nail on the head. You got to do with someone that you have good chemistry with, somebody that you have fun with and you want to talk with. I mean, because like every time, because you bring out, I mean, you're a funny guy, right? And then we get together and we both act like fucking idiots. Do you know what I mean? And every time I listen to the podcast, I'm like, right, in future, I'm just going to play it down and not be as silly and not be so immature. Do you know what I mean? But then we just start having a laugh and it just gets... It just goes out the window. Sometimes I listen back and it's hilarious, but I think, okay, maybe not try and act so juvenile in the future next time. But then I can't help myself because it is funny and we do laugh. So we're just laughing our asses off. Fortunately, it seems that most people get it. We do wish that, you know, we were in person more, which we're going to make an effort to, obviously. You being on the other side of the world, other side of the country, it's hard. You know, it does have limitations in terms of audio quality, video quality, things like that. But I still feel that regardless of all that, we still put on a pretty good show. But yeah, if you want to do a podcast, just do it. Go out there. I mean, everyone's got a computer. Well, I say everybody, most people have access to a computer that has a camera built in. I'm using my MacBook here and I'm just using the built-in camera and a cheap microphone off Amazon and a pair of $3.99 headphones. You know what I mean? So if you want to do it, just get off your ass and do it. You know what I mean? There really isn't in this day and age too much stopping you. So yeah, good luck with it.
That's a great point. And yeah, dude. And honestly, send us your podcast. We'll review it. That's what we can start doing. We can start reviewing other people's podcasts on this podcast. That's a great segment. Any suggestions? Who would you guys like to see us review on this podcast? Any other podcasts? Any comedy specials? We'll do it, baby boy. All you got to do is say the name.
Edit that bit out. Listen, we're developing a cryptocurrency. I've got a board meeting at 2 p.m. tomorrow with the fucking bigwigs, okay? We've got the China National Bank just over there. Tomorrow, I'm meeting with them tomorrow. I'm going to dust off my best suit. I've got a big meeting. We're doing BYM coins. We're tallying up fights. And now we're going to start reviewing other people's podcasts as well. I mean, Lewis, come on. There's only so many hours in a day.
Look, baby boy, we are going to the moon with this whole brand. That's all we need. PYM to the moon, baby. All right, look, let's wrap this one because I gotta get some stuff done here in Hawaii right now. So you guys know the time difference. So right now, what, it's like 10 in the morning for you on Saturday, right, Bisping?
For me right now, it's 10:03 a.m. in Shenzhen. I've got to be downstairs in 2 hours on Saturday. Yeah, downstairs in 2 hours with my suit, everything. I've got to be camera ready by, hold on, what? I just got another text where they brought it forward by an hour. So halfway through this podcast, I shit my pants because, as I said, they brought it forward by an hour. I'm like, oh, shit, well, that's not good. And I still got a bit more studying to do as well. So we will wrap this one up. We'll be in person on Monday. Looking forward to that. Maybe Lewis will get dropped. You know, that remains yet to be seen. As always, thank you for listening. Tune in and watch these fights. I'm telling you, these fights are going to be great. There's some unknown talent on there. There's a lot of people making their debut. But I have been studying, and there's some great fights. So if you get a chance, it is early for most people on the Western side of the world. But check it out. Watch the fights. And let me know what you think of the commentary. Lewis, anything to sign off on?
That's it. Love you guys. Thanks for listening. Go subscribe. Do all that shit. Tell some friends about the show. And we'll be back on Monday night. You guys should get another episode live and in person from Los Angeles, California.